It is snowing sideways outside our windows. I'm downtown Chicago on the 18th floor at 303 East Wacker. I'm able to look out my window and see the Wrigley Building and the remains of the Tribune Tower. And there are days in January that are not this hard. It's the 31st of October, as you may know.
It's an angry snow.
It really is. Right. And sometimes the 35-degree snows are more penetrating than the 5-degree snows. This is humid, it's cold, and it's damp.
I don't know if you heard me say, but at O'Hare right now, they're dealing with freezing fog, which is one they don't pull out very often.
No kidding. That'll ground a flight or drop a power line, which gets me to this. So thousands of people without power. And I was thinking about my friend Beth Swerk, who used to produce here at WGN Radio. She lives in the San Francisco area, and she's without power. Actually, she got it back yesterday, but thousands of people without power.
Right now, it's about, the last number I saw, was about 350,000 people in California have no power.
So they're buying generators left and right, and maybe you and I should, too, when we go through this. I reached out to Lou Manfredini, by the way, who is our Mr. Fix-It, to answer a couple of questions about that. Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's your first thought on this power outage that we have now? I said earlier, maybe more of this is to come. I mean, if we get this kind of, you know, volatile weather these days, I don't know. I'm just trying to be prepared. But I think people should know what their options are if they're out of power.
Well, on a totally personal note, I've had a backup whole house generator in the home that we live in for 16 years. And we made the decision years ago to do this because of the unpredictability of power. And for, in our case, it was a question of, you know, I travel quite a bit. And, you know, when the kids were little and my wife was here with the kids, that this would be advantageous. And back then it was considerably more expensive than it is now. And I think that, quite honestly, John, backup generators, and certainly the story that is happening out on the West Coast, is far more dramatic than what we have here. But I honestly think everybody should have one, because I think it's one of those safety and security things that should be on people's list for, even if a smaller unit that could just get you through the hump for a few days, you'd be amazed at how gratifying that will be and how that would take some stress away from your life.
Well, I'm not going to get a whole house generator. What's one of those set me back?
You could probably get one installed that would do about 8,000 watts, which would do the majority of your home in the neighborhood of about $7,000.
So would I be able to run my refrigerator, my washer, my dryer, my
your
TV?
Your furnace.
Really?
Your furnace, your TV.
My neighbor's TV?
Yeah, TVs don't use a lot of, you could do a bunch of neighbors.
No, but
TVs.
I could just see the whole block is black,
oh, yeah?
And then my lights, I mean, we're watching the big screen, and people go, wait a minute.
Hey, there have been times in my neighborhood where the power went out, and I was running extension cords across the street.
I was just going to ask Lou, if my neighbor has a whole house generator, could I plug into that?
Yeah.
It's like a rototiller. You don't need one. It's like a boat. You don't need one. You need somebody that has one.
So look, this is an interesting aside about the power grid. I mean, when you look at what's happening out on the West Coast where they're preemptively shutting off the power, right? The issue, I mean, there's a whole myriad of questions out there when it comes to California. Like, why is it all the power lines are still above ground? And, you know, why is it we don't have pipelines coming from the ocean to spray the water down when stuff like this happens? But regardless of that, the grid, the power grid that we have right now is so old and dilapidated across the country that many utilities now are going to these, what they call these micro turbines, to do smaller grid systems where, and Steve, you talked about the fact that if my neighbor had a generator, there are these micro turbines that you could place in your neighborhood, okay, like in a central location that would run off of natural gas or kerosene. Really, they can run off of anything. And these small units could power the entire neighborhood. And that would be the generation point for, you know, let's say 100 homes. I'm just going to make that up. Instead of it being part of a utility that's this giant grid, and these are some of the things that people and utilities are starting to consider about not having this massive grid that controls so many, because when the power goes out, it's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. But, you know, that whole idea of having a backup generator, and John, you say, like, I don't want to spend $7,000. Okay, then spend $1,000 on a portable unit that you have to plug some cords into. And if you wanted, you could hire an electrician to install what's called a transfer switch, which would be a plug on the outside so that if the power went out, you'd go to the basement and you'd go ka-chunk like you're going to, you know, revive Frankenstein. And then you plug your generator in, and then that powers the key circuits in your home.
Oh, no kidding. Really? And yeah. Then I'd have light switches and everything.
So the hardware store that we own on the northwest side of the city, the power goes out quite a bit. And several years ago, we invested in a large portable generator, because obviously if we're in business, people are there. And we have a transfer switch and a giant plug on the outside of the home. So that cord that we plug in is like a fire hose. That's how big it is. And we lift up the door, we hit the switch, you know, we turn the switch off, we plug this cord in, we fire up the generator, and then for a hardware store, we can run maybe a quarter of the lights, the key machine, the paint machine, the register. Because if our power goes out, that means people in the neighborhood's power's out, and maybe their basements are flooding, and they need help from us. And so we have used that more than once, probably more than a half a dozen times over the 15 years that we've had that store.
Well, when I bought my, does this sound about right? $600 or $700, Lou, is what I think I paid for. It was a heavy-duty, brand-name generator that I could plug four or five things into, and
we could
literally, when the power was out, now it's gasoline powered, but that's fine. I'm watching TV. I don't know if we plugged the refrigerator in. I don't think the power was out long enough, but that would have been an option.
But John, like, take today for instance. Okay, it's a terrible weather day, right? It's cold outside. If the power goes out, you have the average person has no way to plug in their furnace.
Well, I could have plugged in a portable electric heater.
And sit next to it?
what are you telling me? I mean,
if you had a portable electric, I mean, okay, so now it's not sub-zero freezing, but let's say this is February, and it's, you know, it's 10 degrees outside and the power goes out.
I'm not spending $10,000 on a whole house generator for my furnace.
No. Hold on. Easy, spokesperson for the CTU. What I'm talking about is if you did the transfer switch thing, if you wanted to buy that same $700 generator that you now own, you could have the electrician come and put in a transfer switch. Let's call that $1,000. I'm going to make that number up.
Okay.
But there's a plug on the outside of the house, and you say to the electrician, I would like this transfer switch to power my furnace, my radio.
Tell them where it goes.
And a few different things that total wattage draw is less than what your generator will do.
And then then I buy the appropriate size generator, and that sits outside my house, and it's running like that.
Correct.
So the advantage is then that where you can't plug in a furnace, say, because that's wired into the house, you generate power for the house through your fuse box, and it goes to the generator. That's not a bad idea, Lou. I was going to suggest that. It's 1:48. All right, I'll take a break. Will you take a couple calls, Lou?
Sure.
Reason, we don't live in California, but we do live in Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Indiana, this region, Iowa, hello. And more of this is coming. So if you lose power, what are your options? Maybe you've got a question for Mr. Fix-It. You'll hear him Saturday morning here at, what time are they throwing you on now, 7?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays on WGN. Hey, John, on line two, you're on WGN. What can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hey, John. Hi, Lou. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Got a question on what's Lou's thought on a male-to-male hookup, say for a furnace, for a light. I know they're out there. You know, you still male-to-male.
Well, those transfer switch. When you put in a transfer switch, that plug that goes in is a male-to-male, which is a And that's a big no-no, like what happens when people put Christmas lights up the wrong way.
Yeah.
But it's designed to do that. So in other words, if that plug that's on the outside of the house has male prongs, because think about an extension cord, you would have the female portion of that connector that you buy, because a transfer switch, in other words, the male and the female plug, they go together. You buy them together, and it clicks in. So it's a very specific piece of hardware that goes in there, because if you, under normal circumstances in that furnace, what you're talking about, if you're under regular power from the grid and you opened up that door and put your fingers on there, you would do a little dance.
Okay, I hope that helps, John. So they figured this out, right, Lou?
Correct, right. This transfer switch plugs that you use have been around forever, but it's a very specific thing from a safety standpoint.
I have never
standpoint.
Heard of these things. So I get a transfer switch, I put the generator on the outside, it directs
You're
the
a talk show host.
Well, I'm not a fix-it talk show host. I'm Mr. Break-It. You're Mr. Fix-It. I'm Mr. I don't know, which I'm trying to syndicate, and it's not going
right.
anywhere.
You're right, right,
Welcome
right.
to I don't know. People calling, I don't know. by the way, John, I'm a retired IBEW worker. During my career, I was on strike 3 times. We never got paid anything during our strike. A lot of you have texted in. We were wondering what the compensation was for union teachers here in Chicago during the strike. Plenty of you told us you don't get Social Security and you don't get strike pay. You are on your own for the last couple of weeks. So I'm sure you're anxious to get back. 5 days will be made up to you at the end of the school year. John, how fortunate they reached an agreement before the teacher's insurance expired. The leverage seemed like it could have shifted with no insurance. John, bottom line, teachers were not going to let their insurance lapse. COBRA is way too expensive. Yeah, they talked about that as an option, and I thought that is not a good option. And finally, one for you, Lou Manfredini. Mm-hmm. I heard there was a year-long backlog on getting generators in California. Will that create shortages in the Midwest, too?
Oh,
you haven't seen that, have you?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard of that. I mean, I know that, you know, there are multiple manufacturers of generators, and one of the biggest ones is actually a Wisconsin-based company called Generac. And so they're probably the leader in this, and Kohler is another one. There's all different kinds and all different manufacturers. That's not even saying what's available overseas that are here, because there's plenty of those as well. The demand is there, but, I mean, just knowing, you know, as an ACE retailer, thinking about the supplies that we have in our warehouses, I have not seen, at least in the Midwest area. But I do think it's one of those things that people have to, you know, have to consider as part of owning a home. I think that you need to be trained on it to know how to use it safely. You know, we hear stories where people put, they run it, you don't run them inside a garage. You need to run them at least 20 feet away from the home. You know, so there's a whole myriad of safety things that go along with this. It's not just like, you know, John Williams buys a generator and look at me. Yeah. You got to understand how it works, because there is a potential danger with using something like this.
Hey, can I tell you an interesting thing about getting shocked and jolted and knocked back?
Sure.
The electricity doesn't push you back. I saw this guy do a TED Talk online one day, and he said, people think, oh, the electricity fired me away because I got a shock, and the next thing I know is 20 feet away. That is always your body doing the work. It doesn't like the electricity, but it just goes to show how much power we have that we don't always realize. If you get thrown from an electrical shock as quick and as far as you get thrown, that's your body doing it. You didn't think you could do it, but you could. So that's just
I wish we had more time, because I have a really good story about that. We'll have to do it later.
Time's up! Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Fix-It.
Love you.
We'll listen to Lou Manfredini do his show Saturday morning at 7 here on WGN.